people around here trust the shepherds. Jamie, Adam, and the other Jamie. They always have. The sheep trust them too. Gather round. I'll throw another log on the fire and turn it up just a touch, because another episode of the Bobcast is starting now.
Brand new episode of the Bobcast starts now. Jamie Bendel, Jamie Hernan, Adam. Hey! All right. So most people don't know how the show is made.
Right.
They see the completed sausage. They don't see sausage under construction.
Yep.
We are here earlier than we normally are because our guest is joining us from later than when we normally record.
So she's in a time machine.
Our guest this evening joins us from London, comedian Rhea Lena. Welcome to the show.
Thanks. So I'm forward in time. So is this where you want me to actually tell you like lottery numbers or?
Do you have the answers to Jeopardy?
Do I have the answers to Jeopardy? Yeah. They are answered. No, they're all questions. All the answers to Jeopardy are questions, aren't they?
That's a mind blowing kind of thing. Do you have the questions to Jeopardy?
In the United States right now, and obviously I guess this was everywhere where there's Jeopardy. There's this huge controversy about the Jeopardy host right now. Like, they've gone through a couple different candidates. It is, you would think that we are nominating a Supreme Court justice. They're taking this so seriously, you know, with the guy's background. And I thought all that he did was read questions. Like, I literally don't think it's important to have this person.
Well, as Rhea points out, he's reading answers.
Okay.
Yeah. He's not even asking questions. Yeah. He's already got all the answers. I mean, how hard can that job be?
It is the ultimate gimme job. And yet we're treating it as if we are anointing a pope. Right now.
What? Sorry. Can you explain to me, because I'm in the future, what happened to the last one? What happened to the last host?
A little bit of death.
Yeah. He died of a long stint with cancer and it was really sad. So it was kind of a lot of people took it very at heart who was his replacement. But we're taking it a little too seriously now for a game show host.
Are there conspiracy theories about whether he's actually dead?
No.
Do you know what we do over here in the UK is when we have a beloved host that goes and we don't know who to replace them with, we then just do a never ending line of guest hosts.
That's exactly what they did here. But now it's been about a year and a half of the guest hosts and now they're deciding who will get the crown. And I'm like, my God.
All right. So I'm very tempted.
Yes.
Now that I've formulated questions and places to participate in the conversation.
Not answers, but questions.
Actual questions that I realize, and I'm self-editing.
That's a different game show, though.
Well,
that's a totally different game show.
I feel like I've sadly found myself in a funnel of predictable questions.
Oh,
right. That are unfortunate, right? Because Rhea's a talented comedian. Part of what we could talk to her about is the kind of reverse of how they do comedy shows in the UK.
Right.
Because they're really the headliner is the host, right? You're coming to see the host of the show. Isn't that often the case?
No. No, first of all, what we do is we have intervals in our comedy shows so that people never miss a bit of the show. We actually have toilet breaks for people. So that's one big difference. We don't do table service.
Oh.
So that you never have to have like someone chatting in the middle of your set, that you are allowed to demand their full focus or all barrels let loose on them. But the other thing we do is our host and our headliners are usually at a similar level and they get paid sort of similar wage. And then we put our youngest comedian in the middle, our second best opening, and then our headliner closing. And the host is of an equal level to kind of, you know, to give you a standard of show.
I wasn't clear on the whole middle pieces. I always understood that unlike here, we tend to put our least experienced comedians as conductor of the show. They're the hosts.
Yes, I know. And it's almost like baptism of fire, isn't
it?
It's just go, hey, go be the first person they see.
Yeah.
But because in the UK, we're like, we want people who come to comedy to come back to comedy. So we don't want you screwing that up by making them think that that's what comedy is. So the biggest stage over here, the Comedy Store in London, they pay the MC the most. The host gets the most money because it's also out of respect to go, hey, you can't double. You can't go and do two shows in one night because we need you here the whole night to host the show. So we're going to pay you a bit more. And then the Comedy Store does four headliners. So everybody on there in theory could close, but in every other, you know, in other comedy clubs, we then put our second best to open to go, right, here's a strong opening. See this is going well.
Right.
Then once they're a little bit relaxed, they've gone pee, they've had more drinks because of that first interval, then we stick our newbies on in the middle. And that can be like one set or two smaller sets or sometimes even three of varying sizes. And then we bring on your headliner to kind of cleanse the palate and take it home.
It's a bit like overture in the second half of a musical. It's a reminder, we're here for a comedy show, then we're going to close strong.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, except the overture is boring and you're there going, I'm already here. I bought the ticket. I'm not, you know, why would I, what is this? Why am I hearing the overture? I know you can play. Bring on the actors.
Does that cause any sort of strange effect when you have an American comic try to, you know, come to the UK to perform or vice versa when...
Where they open, you know, where they're the first comic.
Doesn't happen. Does it happen?
Doesn't. It depends how long they've been. We have a number of North American comedians over here. And it honestly, it just, you, and you guys know this, you've met, you know, it's all about how self-aware a comedian is as to how well they adapt into a new circuit. Like over in the UK, the British, when they buy a ticket, they want their money's worth, which is why we have to give them intervals because they want to see all the show that they've paid for and they want a chance to get as many drinks at the bar as they want to buy. Because mm-hmm. we don't do a 2-drink minimum. That's insane. If people are going out, they will be drinking at least 2 drinks. That's a given. But also it's this whole thing of, I will decide if I think you're funny, means that you don't bring on a comedian over here by saying, this is how amazing they are. They've done this, they've done that. They've hosted the world at the biggest venue ever in the universe. You don't do that because the Brits will go, oh yeah, let's see. They don't like the Charlie Big Potatoes. I might say, hey, I love this guy.
Hold on. Comedian. Wait, 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 wait.
I love that
This
term.
Needs its own space.
I've never heard that term. Hold on a second. I love that term.
Comedian, Realina, just dropped.
Charlie Big Potato.
Charlie Big Potato?
That was awesome. They don't like some Charlie Big Potato coming in here. And I was like, and I know exactly who you're talking about too, but never heard that term.
Well, I love the idea that it's such a colloquialism that you could basically be like, hey, don't give me the Charlie Big Potato.
Yeah, exactly.
I need to be... That's the greatest.
Don't stick me with some Charlie Big Potato. I'm not going to have that tonight. I'm not up for it.
All right. So we need to get on to the bulk and the work of our show. I appreciate the fact that in your bio, it includes the word fierce, which I think is not utilized as often as it should be by comedians.
Well, thank you. I think it's something I'm very proud of, actually, is the fact that I can get away with that word.
I agree.
Not everybody can.
No.
Yeah. No, especially as a woman. I think that's the thing as a woman. I think now, though, now in the last sort of 3 to 4 years, fierce stand-up comedians, i.e., you know, fierce female stand-ups has become more and more of a thing. But certainly having been doing it for over 12 years, that was not appreciated when I first started doing stand-up.
I appreciate the use of really good descriptive words.
Right.
And fierce paints such a better picture when used appropriately.
And it says, I'm not afraid. It says what it says. Okay. It's a great word.
All right. So we do a lightning roundish kind of show.
I'm ready.
Okay. You're ready to go. All right. Clockwise or counterclockwise?
I can see you though, but all right, let's just say counterclockwise.
All right. Counterclockwise, starting with Jamie.
A counterclockwise person.
All right. Which animal would be the most likely to abandon its children during a COVID lockdown?
And that's lightning round as well. There's so many possibilities here. I mean, there's so many animals that abandon their young as soon as they're born.
Right.
So why do they not count? I'm going to go with bats, pangolins, like any of those kind of animals that we think are intermediaries with the virus. They're like, I'm out of here. Right. I probably had something to do with it.
That's actually the right answer. Yeah. She, of all the animals, you know, that she could have said, that you got the right one. Yeah.
Okay. My question. What's something you are listening to that I am not, but should be?
I'm currently listening to the Chicks, formerly the Dixie Chicks.
Okay.
Are you listening to them, Jamie?
I'm a big Dixie Chicks fan. Chicks.
Are you? Okay. Then you're already listening to them. Let me go through. Oh, yes. Hang on. I got one for you. Meghan Trainor. Do you listen to her?
I do.
Ah, okay. Yeah,
so does my 15-year-old daughter a lot.
Do you know what? I have a very classic taste in music. So you're going to find on my phone, like Beach Boys playlists and really old stuff.
So we're going to come back to this in round two, because we're going to follow up on this and we're going to talk mixtapes in round two.
Okay.
But we're going to move on to lightning round. Adam, you're up.
All right.
Okay.
If you could absolutely smack one person with no consequences, who would it be and why?
Ooh, this is a dodgy one. Okay. But I'm going to say Meghan Markle.
Oh. Interesting. We are going to.
We may come back to that. Yes.
Yeah.
This is not my question, but I want to know how long. This is not my question. This is a bonus question. Does not count against my question. How long do I have to live in Britain before I start regularly using the term dodgy?
You know what? It's not about length of time. It's about pronunciation. If you keep going dodgy, you're never going to get away with it.
I did actually hear
It's dodgy. It's dodgy. Dodgy. And okay. You can't say ass. It's arse. But again, it doesn't work in the American accent. Arse. Don't be such an arse. Don't be such an ass. So there's some words that we can never, in this accent, could never totally get away with.
All right. Multi-part question.
I'm going to sit back.
Yep, sit back.
Ooh, multi-part. All right. Okay.
The national bird of England is apparently the European robin. Post-Brexit, does England need to find another national bird?
Do you know what? The robin was always very British. So why it's called the European robin, I'm not sure. We have robins on our, you know, robins and Christmas have just been a British thing for as long as I can remember. So I think they've probably just renamed it. Those that now are on the island are the British robin, and those that are in Europe and need a visa are the European robin.
Do you think there were robins that were trying to get out, like at the last minute, or some that were trying to get in?
I'm going to be honest. I'm not sure many are trying to get in, but certainly probably out. I mean, we had Brexit and we had the pandemic at the same time. There's not a lot on our shelves right now at the supermarkets. Uh-huh. Like, we're getting to crunch point.
In a poll to select the national bird, robin came in first and the barn owl came in second. Does Britain simply not care about national defense?
I'm sorry. Have you not read Harry Potter? Do you not understand what barn owls can do? I think you've totally underestimated what we were going with there.
If given the choice, would you prefer multi-part or single-part questions?
You know what? Multi-part, as long as it's never longer than two parts. Right. I think that's
exactly
a fair compromise.
The rule. We actually said that before we came on the air tonight. We said two is
I actually
funny.
Said three.
Three
is the funny.
Four is
three
annoying.
Three part is the funniest part. Anything over three, terrible.
All right, Adam, you're up.
What do you have too much of?
Children.
Too many kids.
Yeah.
Ugh.
No, I didn't think that through.
Which ones do you want to get rid of?
Yeah, that's the tricky thing. Once you have them, you kind of like them. Do
They're
you know what I mean?
To you, yeah.
I think the one that earns the least amount of money, I think that's the one that's got to go. You know what I mean? They're not contributing.
Yeah, those toddlers.
Get rid of them.
They never earn anything.
Honestly, they just take. Me.
If you get rid of one, though, the others are probably going to pick it up.
Oh, yeah. As soon as you cut the one kid, the other two, they get right in line.
Yeah.
Oh, this is it. I mean, it's survival of the fittest. Do you want to go where the baby went? Right. Pay attention.
All right. That brings round one to a close with our comedian who joins us from London this evening, Ms. Rhea Lena. We will be back with more of the podcast momentarily.
So you know how when people from other countries come to the United States and you hang out with them, it's always the accent is interesting, right? And I think guys with accents actually get like points with girls. Do you think that works the other way? If I were to live in England, for example, would people find my accent charming?
Or are you a dumb yank?
Yeah.
But which country do you think would accept the American accent as the most charming?
Can we switch this around a little bit and say, what accent do you find the most appealing? Because I kind of just like you if you have the Australian accent or the British accent.
But see, you're generalizing because there are some Australian accents that are really cool and then some that are just grating on the ear. Same with the British accents.
Not true.
No, that is true, actually.
It's actually not true.
Well, it's his ears.
It's my ears.
It's what he's hearing.
But it's true for my ears.
Right.
Okay. You were talking about me.
Yes.
Right.
So before you were lying. So you're a liar.
Damn it.
By the way, I like Rhea's accent. Let's get back to her.
We are back with the follow-up segment here on the podcast. Jamie Bendel, Jamie Hernan, Adam Haig. Our guest joining us from London, England, is comedian Rhea Lena.
Before we get into the follow-up, Rhea, how great is Kate Lennon?
Oh, she's incredible. She's my favorite agent.
Yep.
She's my only agent. She's my favorite agent. Is she listening to this? Yeah, she better listen now. I tell her to listen now. She's getting a shout out.
Yep. There we go. Yeah, we all love her.
She's been delightful.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know what? It's incredible that she is so nice and yet so ruthless. And I love how she does it. I love watching her just go in there and just be like, I'm so nice.
And I like how Jamie worked a plug-in for her. Yeah, it's good. Nice job. We got to follow up on the Meghan Markle stuff.
Okay, round two.
Meghan Markle first, not mixtape.
I want to hear, we're definitely going to hit both, but I want to hear about the Meghan Markle. Like, how much do we dislike her and what's going on there?
Oh, this is a tricky thing, because obviously she wasn't treated very well when she came over here. Mm-hmm. And eventually they essentially felt that they were run out of the country. But I knew about her in Suits years before she even came over here. And I had been following her and knew about her long before she even met Prince Harry. And I am British. I know I have a strong American accent, but I am British. And so I do feel that kind of, what's it, possessiveness over the royal family, especially our younger princes. I grew up with them, right. You know, we're similar ages, and I'm just like, you know, whoever gets our Harry better be worth it. And they've managed to scrub the internet of it. But there were a lot of stories about how she was a little bit of a diva. She was a D-list, but acted like an A-list, and all these sorts of little stories that were trickling through. And then I remember following her when she came over to the UK and started trying to get onto our reality TV shows, which is like entry level. You and I, but you know, it's like, what is it? Like Real Housewives. If right. you're trying to get on Real Housewives, that's a different level of fame than if you're an actress in Suits trying to get other acting work and trying to establish a career that way. But she was looking for a husband and started on the reality circuit, and then, you know, had lunch once with Piers Morgan, which he's never let go of. He's so bitter about the fact that she had drinks with him once, raped him of all of the information she could get from him, and then moved on without a second glance back. And then eventually managed to get introduced to Harry, and they got married and everything else. And originally, some of the stories that came out of the palace was how she brought a very, let's say, LA way of working to a very British institution. So she'd be up at 5 on the treadmill wondering where her staff were and why weren't they there to beck and call and sending emails and the rest of it. And that doesn't work. And that's not how the royal family have ever treated their staff. They've always treated them very respectfully. And, you know, they're very conscientious of the fact that they're in a very privileged prison of glass, and that they need to treat the people around them because they're living in houses of glass. Everything they do is going to be scrutinized. And she just brought a different way of working. Now, was she racially abused in the rest of it? Yes, of course. And did she suffer horrendously? Yes, she did. But I don't like the way that she complained about not having enough privacy over here, but then went to the States and immediately sold all of her privacy for goodness knows how much money to Oprah.
That's right.
Personally, I don't like her, and I didn't like her before she met Harry. And also, for people who can't see my face, woman of color. So it's not to do with race or color or anything. It's everything to do with the yatch.
So who is more cherished over there, William or Harry?
Do you know what it is? We love both our boys, and we are very upset that they've basically been split by this and now barely speak. We love William, but we will welcome Harry back with open arms when that goes to shit and he has to come crawling home.
All right, so we're going to move on now.
The mixtapes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so then.
Okay, are you asking the mixtape questions or do I get to ask the mixtape
No,
questions?
You don't get to talk about mixtapes at all.
I want my thing to be mixtapes. Like your thing is animal questions.
Yeah. No, actually, in the next round, you're going to ask the animal questions. I'm asking the mixtape questions.
No, I like.
I was going to get to a question. Okay, Bendel, the floor is yours.
Yes. No, go ahead. Yeah. Do your thing.
You've taken up 1,000 minutes with your multi-part all right. questions.
Rhea, have you ever made a mixtape?
No, I've made playlists.
Okay, so when you've made a playlist,
she's too young.
Well, so again, it's a point of reference, right? Yes. Okay, but yeah. So when you have made a mm-hmm. playlist, mm-hmm. what is the catalyst for making a playlist for someone?
Purpose.
And I guess he's asking for someone, too.
No, so you I'm asking for someone.
Oh, for okay. someone.
What prompts you to make a playlist?
Oh, you know what? No, I did. Oh, my gosh. I did make a mixtape, but it was a mixed CD. Okay. That was the
same
era.
Thing.
Cool.
Right? Yeah. Same thing, mixed CD.
I did, and it was for the boyfriend, and my boyfriend was my kung fu teacher. Okay. So on the mixtape was just a whole bunch of songs about teachers.
Okay, so they were all about teachers.
Yeah, songs that kind of
that
thing.
Had about a relationship between a teacher and a student.
Well, you know, so yeah, so even so, something as classic as Doris Day's Teacher's Pet.
Okay,
Hot for Teacher.
But there was what's the one by Sting? Don't Stand So Close to Me.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
That one. Adam Ant. Adam Ant had.
Don't drink, don't smoke. What do? You don't drink, don't smoke. What
that wasn't
do
it, though.
That wasn't
be
it.
Something.
That is a great song.
Yeah.
Although I'm giving you that one. It could be that one.
Don't Stand So Close to Me seems like a tough one.
But was it? Okay, was it?
Are you kidding? But Don't Stand So Close to Me is the Lolita song, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But was this a Lolita relationship? With the kung fu instructor?
Yeah. So it was like beginning of the, it was kind of, I think because it was, he was a bit self-conscious that he was dating a student. So yeah.
Is he a little older?
Because there was also,
were you
20
doing
years?
The moves poorly and getting the belt anyway?
oh no, I was kicking ass because I'm fierce.
I was just saying what would there be to be self-conscious about?
Oh no, he was self-conscious because he was 20 years older than me.
2-0
2-0 And a few months.
You could have made him an actual mixtape, because that's a dude that has cassettes.
He could have done. Yeah. No, he had vinyl.
Oh, classy.
He was a vinyl guy. Yeah.
That's hilarious, because that's almost like the old fashioned milk crate challenge of you bring over a mixtape of vinyl albums. I need you to play song 3.
I DJ'd my way through it.
This one. I need you to play song 4 on this one.
This one I want you to play 8 and 12.
All right. Yeah. All right.
So and then flip it over.
So you are a black belt? Is that what you are?
We don't do belts in Kung Fu.
Oh, okay.
We do states of mind.
Okay. And what is your state of mind?
Okay. So hold on a second. Okay. Again. I am a neophyte to Kung Fu, clearly.
Okay. Okay.
And so.
Good word.
So is it the brand new practitioner of Kung Fu? Mm-hmm. Is their state of mind like disorganized, unfocused?
So Kung Fu means working on yourself. It's all about work on oneself. And self-defense is a part of that. So you have to think of the difference between martial sport and martial art. Martial sport is when you dress up in pajamas, you get colored belts, and you go to the Olympics, and you potentially injure yourself and then make yourself unable to actually defend yourself.
Okay.
Whereas martial art is about actually living your best life, but using Chinese words.
An alternate answer is she was willing to slap karate.
Yeah.
Because it just sounded
just
like
slapped karate
you
pretty
just
hard.
Slapped karate pretty hard. Yeah.
I did. And judo. Let's bring it in there.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, and judo. Yeah. Okay. All right. So that is going to do it for round 2. Stick around here for our last and final lightning round with comedian Rhea Lena.
Did you guys ever have a teacher that you had a crush on?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
English teacher? Math teacher? What are we talking about?
Biology. AP Biology.
Biology.
Kathy McCloskey. If you're listening, Kathy, Adam, I got a little crush on you.
Definitely going to tag her on the release of this episode.
I took 2 semesters of Spanish in college because I absolutely had a crush on the Spanish professor.
The same class? You flunked out of the class on purpose so you could have to retake
it? She taught 2 sequential levels.
Ooh, nice. So you didn't even have to flunk out to hang out with her some more.
At any time, did you use a pickup line involving the phrase language of love?
I actually didn't do that well in the class and was out of my league in both languages.
Okay.
All right, we are back for our final segment here with our comedian guest this evening, Ms. Rhea Lena.
Easy, Charlie.
Okay.
I loved it.
We are now on to our next of the lightning rounds.
Counterclockwise or clockwise?
Oh, no, we're going clockwise now.
Clockwise.
Yeah, we are.
All right, we switch it up, starting with Jamie.
All right, Boris Johnson's dog is a Jack Russell named Dylan, which was a rescue dog. Mm-hmm. And according to the infallible internet, the name Dylan means loyal. And Boris Johnson's approval rating is at an all-time low, 34% at this point. Do you think Dylan is loyal to Boris Johnson, or is he a spy of the Labour Party?
He's not the only one with the dog, you know. Rishi Sunak has a dog as well. And then they had a little dog off to be like, oh, who can be more well-liked because we've got puppies now. It's all just a con. Poor Dylan is actually neglected and really needs to be rehoused, let's be honest, because he wasn't gotten for love. He was gotten for voters' points.
She's exactly right. And I like the idea of a dog off.
The dodgy dog.
Yeah.
The dodgy dog of Downing Street. Yeah. The dodgy dogs of Downing Street.
You throw your glove down and you say, sir, I challenge you to a dog off. All right. What is an unwritten law that you abide by?
An unwritten law that you abide by. Oh, you know what? In Britain, we have so many laws. So many. You know, like when you use our underground transport system, you always stand on the right and walk on the left. That's not a law, but everybody does it. And if they don't, then the locals yell at you.
Oh.
You could stand on the left, but woe betide you. Always let passengers off before you let them on. That's another one. Again, it's not a law. It's just what we do. In other countries, you go to Holland, everyone pushes on as people are pushing off. It's just a big push for all.
Well, I like that. I think that's very British.
Follow-up question for Adam. Would you rather attend a dog off or a push for all?
Oh, ooh, good one. Good question.
That's a tough call. Yeah. I'd actually rather attend a dog off. I'm imagining like a runway with these dogs walking up and down, like we've got a dog off.
All right, Bendel.
I'm a little caught up in the push for all. I like the idea of the push for all.
Yeah, the push for all concept. Kind of a mosh pit of the subway.
So I would actually say that as, okay.
If you've lived alone a long time, push for alls are like hugs. I'm just saying. I don't know how your lockdown was, but
I'm just going. I mean,
but
little...
then there's also an argument for a dog off at that point. But anyway, yeah.
Okay. For descriptive use of words, who's better, Brits or Americans?
Oh, Brits. Oh, I mean, the way that they can slam and people don't even know they're being slammed, they are the kings of passive aggressiveness. And that is all about use of words.
Okay. Now, follow up.
Okay.
Has any of that been occurring in your participation in this podcast?
Genuinely loved every minute
okay.
of it.
Okay, good. Because I was a little...
Was that it?
Is she using... Was that a little bit
yeah,
of it?
Yeah, yeah. You walked right over.
God, I'm such an American. Okay. I totally thought I was getting a compliment, and instead she was firing at me. Oh, I've loved every minute of it.
Right?
What? Oh, my God, what happened?
Okay. All right, so this was a four-part question, but I've pared it down to two. So the city of London is supposedly surrounded by a series of 13 dragon statues, supposedly guarding the city. First question is, do dragons exist?
Yes. Did you need more than that? No, I think that's a given.
Yes is right.
I think that's right. And
your follow-up?
So second question, why would Britain choose the robin? And actually, I think you've maybe already answered this, but why would Britain choose the robin as its national bird when dragons were on the table?
Because we didn't need dragons. Look at the empire back in the 1800s. We did that with robins. Yeah. Imagine, I mean, imagine the destruction with dragons.
I feel silly even asking the question.
Yeah. And also, dragons are Welsh.
Oh.
You have to remember that dragons are Welsh.
So the Welsh are guarding London?
No. Well, the city of London, you've got to remember, though, that unicorn. You remember we also got the lion and the unicorn? Because the unicorn is Scottish.
Oh.
And the lion is English. So we got all sorts of things going on here at a mythical level. And this is, again, why the barn owl makes actually a lot of sense coming second.
So are you saying lions are mythical?
Have you ever seen one in England?
Oh, it's a solid point. Maybe mythical.
I mean? Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it could like be.
They, mythical.
To us, they are. To they us, they are.
Imaginary thing that... Yeah. Then this is this a question to bridge the pond, if you will, across from the United States to London?
That's the only pond that they refer to. The one that exists between us. There is no different pond.
Okay. Thank you. What do you think is the most universally hated thing in all human history?
The most universally hated thing in all human history? Isn't it mosquitoes? Who loves a mosquito?
Nobody Take does. It. And they're the biggest killer of all the animal kingdom. So I think you're absolutely right. Mosquitoes is the right answer.
Take it.
Hate them, and they kill people regularly.
Tonight. Or tomorrow, given
tonight,
the hour in which we're recording.
Tonight, I'm going to have myself a real good time.
Which?
I feel alive.
Which Queen song is most applicable to this podcast episode you just recorded?
Ooh. Oh, okay. Hang on. Oh, a couple of options. Do you know what? Let's give it up for all of us, because I think this was definitely worth a listen. Let's go with Let Me Entertain You by Queen.
Say nothing.
Just go.
It's so beautiful.
The national animal.
Is this your third question?
It is.
Do we get three questions?
We do every time, okay. Every episode. You should listen to some past episodes. All right. So the national animal of the Philippines is the carabao. Okay. If I'm pronouncing that correctly. And the national animal of Germany is the aforementioned federal eagle. If a carabao and a federal eagle mated, which existing animal most closely resembles what would be created by that union?
Existing animal already?
Yes. Yeah.
Or, so we can't even say a sphinx or something?
Oh, you could say a sphinx.
I think mythical animals are included.
Yeah.
Not lions, though.
No.
That's too far of a stretch.
Too crazy.
Okay. So, okay. All right. A carabao and an eagle would make a griffin.
Oh, very cool.
Wouldn't it? The winged lion. Maybe? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. I mean, I know this part kind of close, right?
No, I think that's what I actually had right here. 10 points.
Oh, you got to make sure that my camera isn't just reading your paper.
Right.
Because I could totally be in there.
I know. It's weird. That one I had put in 24-point font. I need to make a note to myself. Don't put the answers. Okay.
Yeah. Wear glasses and put the paper closer to you.
Right.
You walk into a casino. What game do you want to play for a little bit?
Poker.
Yeah. Texas Hold'em?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Good
None of that other crappy crap. No, I'm not going into Omaha and horse and wild cards. No. Texas Hold'em.
Are you playing a cash game or a tournament?
Ooh, do I have the time for a tournament? I'd love the time for a tournament.
Okay.
I do. I can win a tournament. I have to be in the right frame of mind for a cash game.
Yeah. I'm just going to do a 10-person tournament if you can do it. So you can do it either way.
Yes.
Have you ever gone to a casino with a group of friends and then entered a tournament and ended up not spending any part of the weekend with your friends because you were stuck in the tournament?
This is a story that I lived. Yeah.
Really? Yeah. Do you know what? No, I am waiting for the day, but I would never go with friends. I would go by myself and enter the tournament.
That was
because they just distract you. They just distract you. Like, come on. And you're going, excuse me, I'm in the zone here.
Rhea, you know what you're doing? I did not. I went with a group of friends and the tournament started Friday night. And by Sunday, I was still playing in the tournament. And all my friends at the breaks, I would go out to the pool and they would all be drinking and they would all be, you know, there's plenty of booze that's been killed. Everyone's swimming. People are drowning and they've replaced me with somebody else. And then but I went back in and hung out with
one and then made a lot of money,
a little bit of money, but I'm not sure it was worth it. The missing the weekend with the friends. Yeah. But I put a high value.
You know what, though? You know what? Your rookie mistake was having friends.
That's it.
And this is why we're comedians.
That's right.
We don't do friends. Colleagues that we hang out with way too much. That's right. What we do.
So you are a comedian, Jamie.
Bendel.
I felt like that hits a little closer to home than it should have. That was a sharpish barb.
A little too true.
All right.
Literally my favorite moment of the podcast ever.
All right, Rhea.
Yes.
Mixtape to the Kung Fu Instructor. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did it have any George Michael songs on it?
No.
Good girl.
No. Sorry. No.
I think that's the
and
right
it didn't answer. Have Phil Collins. It didn't have Phil Collins on it either. You all play Whamageddon at Christmas, of course. Do you have that? We have that over here.
What's Whamageddon?
Whamageddon is a game. It starts on the 1st of December and it ends on Christmas Eve on the 24th. And you see how long it can last before you hear Wham's Christmas song.
Oh, I can't wait to play.
It's like if you hear the song, you're out of the game.
You're out.
That's it. You're out. Yeah. Because, of course, because you all want to go out and social. Because that's the thing. We go to the pub almost every night in December as Brits. And it's, you know, and they're all playing those things. Covers are fine, but the original and you're out.
So are you given like a 6-second... Like if you hear it coming, you can just run out of the room. No,
it's like a sniper shot for your ear.
No, it's like the grenade. You have that one moment where you know it's coming.
As soon as it hits, you're dead.
Yeah. You got to, in between songs, you got to go outside just in case it's Wham.
I love the idea of like a betting pool where it's like the last man standing gets all the money.
We are wrapping up this episode.
Rhea, where will people find you on social media when they want to find you?
Well, like every comedian, I'm a social media whore. So you can find me on all the platforms, except for Snapchat. What is that? But the rest of them, just look for Rhea Lena. And there's clips and stuff. And you'll see news. If you follow me now, you'll find out about a thing that's coming out in 2022 that's quite exciting that I'm not allowed to say anything about.
Ooh, nice one. We'll leave that little cliffhanger.
All right. Rhea, Lena.
Been a pleasure.
You are awesome.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Real fun. Continued Thanks, success. Guys.
Hopefully, we'll maybe get to do this again in the future because we love time traveling guests.
Does that mean I can't come and do it in person at ever?
Oh, totally.
I have to always stay in the future?
Come anytime. Yeah.
Where am I traveling to? Let me book a ticket. Where are you? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks, Rhea.
Pleasure, guys. Rhea.
Fire's getting low. This episode of the podcast is over. Time to go home now, sheep. Go on. Back to where you came from. We'll call you back when it's time for another podcast. Taka taka.